From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The economy is finally looking up, but the job market still hasn't caught up to the rest of the economy. And for many college seniors who have scoured help wanted ads, sent out resumes, and dutifully made their follow-up calls, the opportunities can be hard to find. Graduation is just around the corner now, and soon after, those pesky college loan payments will come due. Some graduating seniors have chosen fields where there are jobs and they are getting hired. Other grads face rough sledding. Some are taking interim jobs, anything to pay the bills. Some are going to grad school and bumping up their student debt another notch. A few are just enjoying their last days of college, packing their bags to move back home, not willing to cloud their last days as a student with worries about the future. Tonight on Point, where the jobs are and are not for the class of 2004, we'll look at hot and cold fields and what it takes to snag the jobs that are out there. We begin with a look at where the jobs are now overall in the U.S. economy, which sectors are growing and which are shrinking. Angela Clinton is an economist with the Bureau of Labor Statistics and joins me now. Angela, the March figures for job creation were fairly strong. What sectors are you seeing the strongest hiring in right now?
We've been seeing strength in the construction industry for quite some time now. Mostly we can trace a lot of it to the residential market, which is a very strong housing market, and also other industries in the financial sector that have to do with mortgage financing
right.
and refinancing. So there's strength there. The healthcare industry continues to grow, and it has been adding jobs all year.
When you say healthcare industry, Angela, what do you mean exactly?
Okay, the healthcare industries include the industry definition is called ambulatory healthcare. That's like your doctor's offices and dentists and outpatient centers,
mm-hmm.
Hospitals, and nursing facilities.
Okay.
So they've been strong, and it's looking, we do at the Bureau, we do projections, and that for a 10-year period, so from 2002 to 12, they're expecting strong growth in many of the medical fields.
But some of these jobs will be attractive jobs, and some will not. Some will be bedpan changing.
That's right. But a lot of the fastest growing jobs, let's see, I got the wrong sheet here. Some of the jobs in the healthcare industry are the doctors and specialists, like the physical therapists, and require a degree. Others, of course, are, as you said, the bedpan home
right.
health type aids.
As I recall from those March numbers, there was also pretty strong growth in temping, just plain old temping.
Temporary help has been growing for the past year fairly strongly, and we find that when businesses are uncertain about the future, they'll often hire on temporary workers through an agency before they're certain about what's to come, before they hire their own workers.
It doesn't sound like much of a career, but it's a fast-growing category.
That's right, but and it covers a lot of different occupational groups.
Mm-hmm.
There's legal temps, attorneys, there's medical, there's the traditional secretarial, there's labor, such as, going into a manufacturing facility.
Right.
Which is probably, manufacturing has been the worst off of all the industry groups.
So there's construction and mortgages, healthcare, temping, all as growth areas. What about industries that have been in decline or very soft on hiring?
Oh, definitely manufacturing. It's been on a many-year decline, and last month was the first month before 2001 that did not lose jobs. It was zero change, no change. So most of manufacturing is in decline. We have seen some improvement in some of the durable good industries, which tend to be the higher paying, but the non-durable industries where there's more labor intensity and less skill requirements, whereas like the textiles and apparel industries, those have been weaker.
And we're looking tonight at categories that college grads might be considering, given that college graduations are the ones right around the corner here. What about some other
right.
weak sectors for those grads?
Weak sectors? I'm trying to think here on the spot. It's hard.
You've got also a long-term forecast there, a 12-year forecast. Maybe that would tell us something.
Forecast.
A 10-year. What does that say looks good, looks bad?
What looks good is the medical care field, medical assistance, network systems designs, physician's assistance, social and human services, home health aides, medical records. A lot of the strength we're seeing is in the projections over time is looking at internet-related industries, computer systems design, management, consulting, and healthcare. Those are the industries with the expectations for the most growth in the next 10 years.
Over the next decade. Great. So where to look and where not at writ large. Angela Clinton, thanks a lot for joining us tonight.
You're welcome.
Angela Clinton is an economist with the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and she spoke with me from Fredericksburg, Virginia. We're talking tonight about where the jobs are and are not for the college class of 2004. You can join us. Where are you setting your sights for a job in this new economy? Where should a fresh young diploma holder in America today look for that great career, and what does it take today to get started? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from Washington is Elizabeth Farrell. She's a reporter covering student issues for the Chronicle of Higher Education. She recently wrote a piece entitled Guarded Optimism on the Job Trail. This year's college graduates face brighter employment prospects, but also fierce competition. I guess we would have guessed that. Good evening and welcome, Elizabeth Farrell.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great, great. Thanks a lot for joining us. So you've been out talking with campus career counselors and the people who arrange job fairs and students, Elizabeth. What have you found?
Well, I have found that there is guarded optimism. Obviously, it varies from field to field. Mm-hmm. There are some perennial problems. If students haven't thought about what they want to do, of course, they're not as in a good position as they would be if they had a more pre-professional major. We are seeing that the career centers are being a lot more proactive in getting students in earlier, even before they pick their major, saying, look at this major and look at what types of jobs it will offer after graduation, sort of reversing the process there where it would normally be after you pick your major, decide a job based on that, and now it's saying, look what there is out there. Do you think you'd like to do that? Well, then maybe major in this.
So they're jumping in aggressively to help students think through job prospects even before they've chosen their major. Why are they doing that? Are they afraid of getting students out on a limb with majors that aren't going to provide jobs?
Well, I guess the short answer to that would be it's their job. And secondly, the major factor that's driving so much change in higher education is this idea that students are consumers and they're making an investment and they want a direct return on that investment. That puts a lot more pressure on the career centers to provide a tangible result to them in 4 years. Well, if I'm an English major, what can I do? Here's jobs in publishing, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They've also been very proactive in responding to the fact that the job market has been a lot tougher, and they've realized they do have to have students start sooner because internships and other types of opportunities, work study opportunities, are a lot more important for preparing students in a much more competitive environment.
What about job fairs this year? Are recruiters coming to college campuses and, you know, laying out their invitations for graduating seniors?
They are. They are coming back. The numbers are up. Unfortunately, they're not looking for as many students as they would before, and they're more doing an approach of hiring as needed instead of saying, let's just get 100 new graduates this year.
So how much are they up? Are there numbers on that, or is it just a sense that they're up?
There's not overall numbers. I mean, I can give you some examples from specific schools, like Loyola had 60 this year instead of 50, and the larger schools may have seen 40 more employers coming than before. And what they're saying is it's up higher than it's been since 2001, nowhere near what it was before then, but that would be an unrealistic expectation for them to have anyway, so they're all right with that.
And we got some broad statistics on employment in general in the U.S., where you can see health care and construction and so on. What about the kinds of fields that new college grads might be interested in? Take us to what you've learned. What's hot? Who's hiring? Where are the opportunities that you've found?
Well, like I say, first, overall, I mean, employers expect to hire 12.7 more college graduates in 2003-2004.
12.7% this year than the last. Okay.
Yeah, and it's the first increase since 2001, so that's substantial. But in certain fields, it's particularly hot. Accounting is a big one. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act, which requires publicly traded companies to adhere to much tougher financial reporting standards, has created a lot more jobs for these graduates. And the starting salaries are pretty respectable. We're talking about $42,000, and that's an almost 2% increase over the previous year. I mean, students still aren't going into that major in droves, so there's a lot more demand that can be filled. Other areas, government jobs, this has been a common myth, that there's a lot more demand for government jobs or more need for students in those fields. And the body count has stayed virtually the same, as someone at the Cato Institute told me. But what we are seeing is a big increase in the hiring for the contractors for the federal government. So like a Lockheed Martin is great for engineers right now. Students who want to maybe get into some foreign policy would do well to work for one of the contractors for USAID that do the type of consulting to help them figure out what would be best for certain countries.
So not directly working for the government, but with those companies who are contracting out work with the government in defense or international development or the rest.
Right. I mean, we're looking at 5.6 million people working for these contractors compared to 1.9 working directly as civil servants for the government.
So it's a large area of opportunity. So guarded optimism, and we'll look at more of the detail there. I want to welcome into our conversation from Madison, Wisconsin, Evan Rutlesky. He's editor-in-chief of the Daily Cardinal, the campus newspaper there. Good evening and welcome, Evan. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
Give us a sense of how it is. I think you're a senior now, Evan. Am I right?
Indeed, I am.
And what's the conversation among your peers there about the working world? Does it look inviting?
Not to too many of us, no, especially around the liberal arts majors of us who might have been a little bit directionless going into college. The general rule is if you pretty much didn't go into college knowing what you're going to do when you're going out, well, a lot of those people are still pretty directionless when they're graduating.
So what are you seeing in terms of what people intend to do, you know, a week after graduation, 6 months after graduation? What's the range of things you're hearing from your crowd there, Evan?
Well, a lot of us are pretty ambitious in the type of jobs that we're trying to seek. We are trying to get something that's going to pay the bills, maybe help us pay off some of the debt that we've accumulated and ideally even give us benefits. But a lot of us don't really know how we're going about that. Some of us are basically going to try to, you know, put our feet in the water and see if we can't get something with temp agencies in the meantime or something to pass the time. But a lot of us are also just sort of giving us the summer to look for a job.
What about the grad school path, Evan? Are people going there as a safety, as a kind of security blanket, even though it's expensive?
Definitely, if they can afford it. A lot of people, if they have the money and they don't have any sort of direction right now, just assume that, well, maybe things will be a little bit better in the future economy-wise. And so if you go to graduate school, or even if you just take another semester, you can buy yourself some time. I've heard a lot of people justify just taking a ninth semester and going through December, when allegedly the competition for a job will be a little bit less fierce than the graduating class from the spring.
And what about just hanging out? You know, a couple of years ago, people thought they'd go off for 6 months until the economy perked up and, I don't know, go fishing in Costa Rica or whatever. Is that something that people are talking about coming out of the University of Wisconsin in Madison?
It's sort of a dream, but it doesn't really provide you with a lot of security. A couple people are talking about it, but, you know, where a lot of us are at the point in our lives where we just want to get a job that's actually going to help us make some money, and we understand that it's going to take a little bit of time. We've been told to wait a while until we can find these jobs, and that it's going to take some looking. So a lot of us are trying to get a jump on that search right now.
And get a jump however you can do it. Are people willing to go out and work in internships even after graduation now, Evan, in your circle?
Not in my circle. It's a really hard thing to do. A lot of us understand that you need some sort of experience if you're going to get something beyond just, you know, the very entry level. But it is very hard after we've just spent so much money going to college for the last 4 years.
No kidding.
To resign ourselves to working so much and not getting any benefits, not getting any money. So that's sort of not the most appealing option.
So people are looking for much more than that. Evan Rutlesky, editor-in-chief of the Daily Cardinal at University of Wisconsin-Madison, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Elizabeth Farrell, there's a lot more we want to dig out of your good reporting here. Please stick with us. We are talking about where the jobs are and are not for the class of 2004. You can join the conversation. Where are you setting your sights for a first job in this new economy? Have you been chewing through the Help Wanted ads? What's hot and what's not for newly minted careers? And where should a young diploma holder in America today look for a good career? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about where the jobs are and are not for the class of 2004. College graduation ceremonies are cranking up soon. Lots of new grads will be in the job market. You can join our conversation tonight. What is your advice to new grads on getting started? What's the career that cannot be offshored, won't evaporate in the next recession, won't be given to a machine? Is it out there? And new grads, are you looking for a career or just something to make the school loan payments to put some food in the refrigerator? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're joined tonight from Washington by Elizabeth Farrell. She covers a student issue for the Chronicle of Higher Education. She recently wrote a piece looking at what's going on colleges as students begin to look for jobs. We're joined right now from New York by Jeff Taylor. He's founder and CEO of Monster.com, one of the most popular job websites. He's author of Monster Careers, How to Land the Job of Your Life. Jeff Taylor, good evening and welcome.
How are we doing?
We're doing great. Jeff, I know that at Monster.com you look at careers for people in all stages of their working life. What are your thoughts on the new crop of college graduates this year and the job market that they're facing? What's hot, what's not?
Well, I think it's a much better market than last year. Last year, we pulled through Monster Track that actually works with 1,500 colleges and universities posting internships and entry-level jobs, and we actually pull all the students from all those schools. 90% didn't have any idea what they were going to do as they graduated. 61% were moving home to live with their parents. It's better news this year. I've seen a number of anecdotal examples of people that already have at least one job offer, and what I'm seeing out there is that entry-level and admin jobs and sales jobs, two of the top five categories right now across the country, very good for graduates.
What about careers? At this point, people have laid down their majors, but they may still be thinking about graduate schools, and others are coming along behind. As you look out over the terrain of the U.S. economy and think about what careers ought to be good now, what careers ought to be good for the next 10, 20 years, what can you tell us, Jeff?
Well, one of the things over the last two, 3 years is technology jobs have kind of fallen out of fashion or out of favor, and I think this is not a trend that we'll see over the next 20 years. I think what you're seeing is companies are focusing more and more on productivity, more and more on retooling their organization so they can find more efficiencies. I think you're going to see a lot more technology jobs created over the next kind of 6-7 years as we go back into boom times. I think you're going to see some of the commodity-type coding jobs go to India. And offshoring is definitely going to have its impact, as well as some of the business process outsourcing or BPO marketplace, where customer service reps and call center reps are going to have a run for their money as people look to outsource those jobs. But I think technology jobs are going to be very strong. Healthcare, we're getting older. This is an obvious trend. Healthcare really had its downturn or its recession from 1995 to 2000. A lot of jobs created in healthcare over the last 3 years. I think that will continue. All the accounting changes have created kind of an exciting career path for accountants. This has been, I think, a lot more focus has been on consulting, not so much on accounting. Over the last 12 to 18 months, a lot more focus back on accounting within corporations, a lot of new jobs being created in that area. I think the whole financial world and ethics and looking at our corporations and how we document our success is something that's going to continue into the future.
Elizabeth Farrell, you write that seniors graduating this year, as I read you, are more practical or maybe realistic about what opportunities await them and what don't and what it's going to take to get a job than their predecessors of a year or two ago or three.
Yes, part of the reason for that is if we just look at their peer group, these students have gone through and seen two or three years of seniors graduating and facing a very tough market, whereas the students before them maybe had an impression that the job market would be fine for them because it was for the students a year or two before that.
In the boom times.
Right. One career counselor I talked to said, I don't have to explain to them that they're lucky to have a job, even though it doesn't have a $10,000 signing bonus.
They already know that.
Yes, they know that. So that's shaped their expectations, and I think it's caused many of them to act earlier, to get those internships and to take the initiative to think about what they want to do so they can position themselves more specifically for jobs. Then, of course, the flip side of that is the students who think it's so bad that they don't even bother.
Jeff Taylor, I wonder if as you look at job seekers of different ages and how they go about looking for jobs and what they do, what they settle for, what they demand, or you know what they'll do when their demands aren't met, do you see younger workers with very different attitudes from middle-aged and older workers in this economy?
Well, I think there's a couple of quick observations. The graduating class of last year entered in 1999. This graduating class entered in 2000. Two of the best jobs years probably in our lifetimes. And they are exiting into two of the worst years for looking for a job. So this is a really humbling experience. And you don't have this, the colleges and universities kind of pumping up expectations, which is something that has very easily happened in the past, where the professors would say you can expect to make $30,000 or $35,000 or $60,000 out of the blocks. The other thing you don't have is the whole counter-offer trend right now where companies threaten to leave. Check that. Job seekers threaten to leave,
yeah.
And companies would pay an extra $20,000 or $30,000 to keep someone. This is not really happening right now. I agree with your bonus comment. Having a job is absolutely a bonus in 2003 and 2004.
Never mind a cash bonus.
No, having a job is a bonus. That's
right. The job is the bonus, you're saying.
You have 8.3 million people out of work. That's an improvement, maybe by a million over the worst case scenario, which was maybe in June of last year. I think you have pretty good trends right now. 9.4% unemployment in June of last year, 5.7% employment the last couple months. Jobless claims are down from 400,000 a week to 340,000 a week. When we look out 2 years, I think these trends. A couple of the trends that actually going down actually is good. These trends will look like the beginning of the recovery when we look out 2 years.
Let's hear from our callers tonight. We're talking about where the jobs are and aren't for the class of 2004. Where are you setting your sights for a first job in this economy? We're at 1-800-423-8255. Jeremiah is calling from Natick, Massachusetts. Hi, Jeremiah. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just laughing as you're talking about healthcare being a big thing, and you went from doctors to bedpan changers, but there was no discussion about nursing, where as after my two-year program, right. I finished. I graduate a week from Saturday. I already have a job lined up, making $26 an hour, $10,000 tuition reimbursement.
Fantastic.
Never looking at not having a job.
That's terrific. How long did it take you to find the job, Jeremiah?
I applied and heard back within a couple weeks, went for an interview, and was offered the job that day.
That's pretty great. And this is in nursing in a major hospital or in a clinic or what setting?
This is a major hospital on a surgical floor taking care of post-op patients. Several of my classmates have been hired into emergency rooms, ICUs. The jobs are everywhere in nursing.
So do the math for us. I'm sure you've done it for yourself. At $26 an hour and the kind of schedule you're likely to work, what kind of annual income will that work out to, Jeremiah?
I'm looking to work part-time, so I'm basically going to bring home about $600 a week before taxes, but continue on, get my bachelor's so I can move into a surgical ICU.
That's terrific. So you're out there proving the point that healthcare is hot.
Healthcare is very hot. We have so many people coming from different fields into nursing because the jobs are there and they aren't where they're coming from.
Got it. Jeremiah, thanks for your call. Jeff Taylor, does that sound like a typical story to you in the nursing field?
One of the amazing things is that the whole hiring picture out there is like a puzzle. Right, nursing is so hot right now. I've got 25 years of experience in recruiting, and in the mid to late 80s and in the mid to late 90s, nursing just heated up, and it was a frenzy. And I think what's happened is through the entire recession, nursing has been a really strong field. And what's happening is you just have the whole baby boomer population moving into needing nursing care. I think RN is going to be one of the very successful opportunities for people to look at as we go forward over the next 20 or 25 years.
Let's get another call. Anthea is calling from Boston. Hi, Anthea. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
I graduated in 2002, and my sister is graduating this year.
Okay.
And I've seen my friends and also her friends move into these jobs that are mostly paper pushers. I don't feel like the jobs that I was offered in 2002 were anything that I needed a college degree for, and I'd spent 4 years slaving away. The jobs that were interesting that were offered weren't enough to support any kind of standard of living. It was working as a research assistant in a, you know, in a jungle somewhere, but sorry, we can only pay you $7 an hour, $6 an hour. You won't ever be able to buy an apartment and sort of make a community for yourself.
So what did you do, Anthea, given that?
I went to law school.
You went to law school?
I'm in my second year of law school. I have a position this summer. working up in Vermont. I'm really excited about it. It's interesting work that I feel really stimulates me. It's not creating form letters. It's not making sure data gets into a database correctly.
And what's your sense among your mates in law school? Are you looking forward to a better hiring situation when you get out?
It's not as good as it was 2 years ago. I'm sure everybody's going to say that. But there are jobs out there. People are finding things. Both my roommates and I had jobs by the end of December for this summer, which is an important year in law school. And my third-year friends are finding positions. They're not paying hundreds of thousands of dollars or anything like that. But, you know, the top of the class definitely have offers, and the middle of the class and the lower of the class, they're finding, you know, small firms who are willing to pick somebody up and yep. pay them enough to buy an apartment.
Yep. Anthea, we've got it. Thanks very much for raising both those points. We're at 1-800-423-8255, looking at where the jobs are for the class of 2004. Elizabeth Farrell, a couple of points that are raised there. And the first is, Anthea saying, look, I got out of 4 years of college and the jobs I was offered just didn't pay enough to make a real life. This feeling of being somehow let down at the end of the pipeline.
Yeah, I mean, it's a common feeling among a lot of grads. And one thing to do in response to that is volunteer jobs. Not that the pay is good, but if you go abroad through the Peace Corps, say, your room and board and healthcare is taken care of. And as they're fond of saying, it is a great opportunity to build leadership skills. So AmeriCorps is another program like that. I mean, the living expenses that they provide for are pretty bare bones. But at the same time, you are getting a great opportunity. Teach for America does the same thing. We do see a lot of these students wanting to go back to grad school. I sense a lot of hesitancy among Career Center counselors, though, saying grad school is not the place to wait out a bad job market.
And the reason for that is because you're going into debt while you wait, or you should just
because
get out?
Because you're going into debt while you wait, and because you may be doing that not because it's the best option for you or what interests you the most, but because it is the only option.
You write that applications for the Peace Corps are up 70% since 2001,
yes.
That Teach for America has been the largest employer of graduates for the last 3 years. That's incredible.
Well, Teach for America at certain schools has been, I think, the
I guess that was Emory you were citing there.
Yes. They have they're a very service-oriented student body. But, I mean, the Peace Corps has had applications rise steadily, and the good news with that is it hasn't necessarily made it more competitive because they're putting a lot more people in the field. This year they have 7,500 people volunteering somewhere abroad. Last year that was only 6,000.
Jeff Taylor, as you look out across this landscape, how do you assess the value of a graduate degree in 2004 and looking forward?
Well, I actually went back to Harvard Business School. I did an executive program and got a certificate called OPM, and it was incredible for me. What I found is I was younger than my peers, and I needed more life experience, and my business was moving very quickly, and mm-hmm. I needed more horsepower to draw from. And so I think my purpose for going back is maybe a little bit different than somebody that just becomes kind of a lifetime student and isn't quite sure how to engage in the job market. My comment to the caller, I think, would be that both, I think she and her sister, maybe she was commenting, are coming out into a fairly difficult job market. You would have another experience completely if you graduated in 1997 and went to work for a small dot-com startup. And 2 years later, you'd be the vice president of business development, making $150,000 a year with $650,000 in stock options.
Yeah, if we had time machines, it'd be fine. But gone are those days.
No,
huh?
But I think those days... No, not those days, but new days will return. You have venture capital money being put back to work very quickly right now. Mm-hmm. You already have more IPOs in 2004 than you had in 2003, and that was only January and February that I've seen numbers for. So what I'm seeing is that one of the biggest job creation areas is the new thing. It's the innovation. It's the new companies that are starting. Mm-hmm. These are incredible places for both college grads and graduate students to go to work because this is where life experience is less important than your skills. And this is what really makes the world go around, is that you don't have to work 20 years and be waiting for a gold watch to get those big promotions.
But on that front, or even more widely, you know, every once in a while you hear that grad school is the new baseline, that people are expected to have some kind of graduate degree just to get started. I'm hearing both of you say maybe not. Is that right, Jeff?
I mean, what you heard from me was that I got some incredible boost in my life experience by going back to, kind of extra years after college. And for me, those that know me, I actually went back and finished my undergraduate degree. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that I made incredible contacts and had a great experience going back and graduating when I was 40 years old. So I think that going back to school is an incredible experience, and I think the caller that talked about the fact that she's now on her way to becoming a lawyer, I think, is just wasn't patient in a system that was moving too slow for her, and good for her. She went back to school, and now she's actually got her career on track. I think there's a lot of lawyers out there, too, and there are a few lawyers that really have the exciting job, so she still has that trek out in front of her.
Still a hurdle to cross, and yet we hear Elizabeth Farrell saying, career counselors saying, be careful, don't just automatically go to grad school. Make sure it's something you would want to do. Let me get another caller here quick. Anna's calling from Whitewater, Wisconsin. Hi, Anna. You're on the air.
Hi. I actually just have a comment. First of all, I'd like to thank the guest for saying that going back is a pretty courageous thing. I went back to finish my undergraduate degree.
Good for you.
I'll be graduating in December, 2 weeks before I turn 30, thank God.
All right.
And my question for you is this. I am getting an education degree, secondary ed, specifically grades 6 through 12. And I'm just wondering what the market is like out in the country. If you could just give me some perspective. I know what the situation is like in southeastern Wisconsin and around, you know, Wisconsin. But I'm just wondering what the perspectives are for the rest of the country.
Yeah, let us pick it up, Anna. Thanks very much for your call. I don't know how tightly we can target it here, but Elizabeth Farrell, what about education as a career? What about the job market there?
It's great. I mean, we're always going to need teachers. That's something where we're never going to have robots teaching our students, hopefully. 2.4 million teachers in the next 11 years is one estimate, and that's due to a lot of factors. We have a lot of baby boomer teachers retiring. We have an imperative from the government to have smaller class sizes. And if we want to talk about that Midwest region, one career counselor I talked to at India University in South Bend said a local school had 84 openings this year that they were looking to fill.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
That was pretty amazing. I had 60 openings last year, too. So I think if you are out there trying to be a teacher, then you've got better luck than the average grad.
Jeff Taylor, what do you see on the education front?
I think the big challenge is pay. I think you have great teachers that are leaving the field. It's not the only field. And doctors, for example, are leaving the field because business careers are paying double and triple what doctors are making. So I think one of the challenges from the teaching field is we've got to be able to pump up the dollars and make sure we put the value where our children are. I think I agree with everything else that was said about the trends moving forward. I think are very good. I think the baby boomer exit is going to create a real crisis at the elementary and middle school education level. So I think it's going to be a lot of teacher openings.
Jeff Taylor and Elizabeth Farrell, please stand by. We're talking about where the jobs are and where they aren't for the class of 2004. Listeners, you can join us. Graduates, what's your job strategy? What's your American dream? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're looking at where the jobs are for the class of 2004. The economy's percolating back, the job market a little bit as well. Where should these young grads be setting their sights? Where are you setting your sights for a first job in this new economy? Parents, do you see how your kids are going to make it, or are you turning down the sheets to welcome them home again? And graduates to be, what's your job strategy? What's your American dream? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're joined tonight by Jeff Taylor, founder and CEO of Monster.com, one of the biggest job placement sites on the internet. From Washington by Elizabeth Farrell, a reporter covering student issues for the Chronicle of Higher Education. And right now from Waterville, Maine, we're joined by Cynthia Parker, Director of Career Services at Colby College, a private liberal arts college there in Waterville, Maine. Cynthia, thanks for joining us tonight.
Happy to be here.
So what are you seeing? Do you have the corporations lining up to snatch up your new grads? What's the mood on campus? What do the prospects look like, Cynthia, this year?
Well, it's a little early at this point for me to say. We survey our students right at graduation, which is still several weeks off for us. But I am hearing from students that a number of them have jobs, and a number of them are actively involved in interviews and conversations that we hope will lead to jobs. So I am reasonably optimistic that it will be a better year this year than it was last.
It's been that's not saying a whole lot necessarily. It's been a pretty tough few years, I assume.
A whole lot. Interestingly enough, when I look at the surveys that we have taken over the last 10 years of our students, you would expect that we would see significant differences in the percentage of students that have a job at graduation, that have a job 6 months later. Those are the two times that we survey.
Mm-hmm.
And you would expect that that would vary a lot depending on the economy. The reality is that it doesn't seem to vary a lot, what the fact of having a full-time job that is career-related or not. What does vary is it the job they really wish they were in? So that I see our students in that, if they perhaps don't have a job at graduation. In fact, many do not have a job at graduation, but they didn't in 1999 and they don't in 2004. But within 3 to 6 months, most of them do have a job.
And is it a job they want, or are you saying?
Well, that's the real difference. In a strong economy, it's usually a job that they want. In a weaker economy, it's a job that they say is on the way to something that they hope that they will get.
Cynthia Parker, have you seen students' anticipation of the job market bending the or shaping the most popular majors? Has it changed significantly in recent years?
I really don't think that it has, but understand that I'm coming from the perspective of someone at a liberal arts college, and I think when we were talking with the editor from the University of Wisconsin before, he was describing himself as a liberal arts student. Most of the students that I speak with are choosing a major not because of where it's going to get them, but they're really choosing it because it's something that they want to study. And that may seem idealistic, but that really is what I see. What we try to do as we're working with students is get them to understand, and several of your callers have mentioned this tonight, get them to understand that the other experiences that they get, particularly the internship experiences and the summer job experiences, mm-hmm. that's what can make the difference between an English major who may be able to find a job in publishing or even in business or in consulting, and an English major who cannot find a job.
So get out there, get some notches in your belt, and it will be helpful in the long run. I want to turn to our callers. A lot of them are waiting to get in. Jeff's calling from Bradville, Wisconsin. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for letting me on. It's Platteville, Wisconsin.
Oh, great. Okay. Got it.
I'm an editor of a community paper, a weekly community paper out here. And it took me several years after I graduated from college before I found the job I wanted. I had to take the jobs that were available when I first got out of college, and it was in a field that was totally unrelated to my degree or my major of study. And I heard a couple callers earlier talking about how they're getting out of college and then they can't find that six-figure job, they can't find that job that they want. Well, I don't think, honey, that it's ever been that way. I don't think that anyone's ever, well, there are cases when the economy is extremely strong or when a person has a particular major that is of strong demand, that they'll be hired right out of college. But usually you're going to have to put, as you just said, 2 or 3 years under your belt before you'll find the job that you want.
So, Jeff, this is the tough love speech saying just get out there and get a job, whatever it is, prove yourself, and keep angling toward the career you want.
Exactly. In the Dubuque, Iowa paper this morning, they had an AP story about how they're going to have a huge shortage of teachers in the next 10 years in Iowa. And sure, you don't start off teaching and you don't make 50 grand to start, but you put in 5, 10 years, making 30, 35, you're in a community service career where you're helping train young people and you're doing good for your community. You put the service in, it's a good job as a teacher. You can feel good about yourself and it is a good job with good skills.
Jeff, we've got it, and we're glad that you landed where you wanted to be after that detour. Thanks for calling in. Cynthia Parker, I wonder, sitting there at the college, do you give this kind of advice to students? Do you say, I don't know if you call them honey, probably not, but do you say, look, just go out and get a job and then maneuver toward what you want? Do students want to hear that?
Well, they don't always want to hear that, but I think that is realistic advice. Someone earlier said, you know, the days of talking about the signing bonus and the high you know, jobs in the 40s and 50s, there aren't very many of those now. And I think it is good advice to get in and begin to get experience of any kind that you want. And your comment earlier about doing an internship after you graduate, that is a great way of getting some related experience on your resume, and if you haven't done enough of it before.
If you can somehow feed yourself while you do that. Jeff Taylor, what about starting salaries for new grads? Cynthia Parker is describing 40 or 50 as maybe on the ambitious side these days. Does that jive with what you see at Monster.com?
Yeah, I think we see a range. There are jobs that are in the high 20s, and I think that you see a lot of jobs high 20s to low 30s in very entry-level positions. Two other comments I would make. One is that we talk about these externships where people actually after graduation are still doing one more internship. The other thing we find, and this has kind of been true in the high-tech areas, is that people are taking jobs at no pay, and in return for, as the companies get off the ground, to be able to take on salary positions and also to get stock options for their hard work. So this is one of these things where if you're going to be out of work, you might as well be out of work actually working with a team and working toward a goal. And this is something that's become pretty common here over the last couple of years.
But presumably, Jeff, there are people who can do that and people who can't, people who've got some kind of cash or parental support to lean back on, and others who have to have some kind of paycheck to have a place to live and food to eat.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that it's been commonplace for years, if you're an actor or you want to work on the stage, to be working at restaurants and working in fairly menial jobs because you're focused, right? What I don't like to see is somebody that just works that menial job with no plan. I think one of the callers was saying that he had to work two or three different jobs before he finally found the job he was looking for.
Right.
This is a much better story than somebody that wakes up and all of a sudden they're 55 years old and they've been doing a job that they never liked their whole life.
So that's amazing. You're saying maybe get an internship or an unpaid job in the field that you want. Pay for it by working weekends as a waiter. Everybody's an actor now, I guess. James is calling from Boston. Hi, James. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a graduate with a BA in film studies this May.
Okay.
And Cindy was talking about earlier about people pursuing programs in school that are essentially not employable when you get out. And fortunately, for the 4 years that I was in school, I also worked on real film sets and got some trade skills. But a lot of my peers just do not have any openings coming out of college.
And is it because they didn't go out and get those bites of experience? James, what's your assessment?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, often when someone's in film school, they just take advantage of what the school has to offer. And there's a lot of trade skills which just you can only learn on a real film set. So
one of my, this is Jeff, one of my observations is that a lot of the new companies out there don't go to the colleges, and the colleges keep going back to the well, to the names that they know, and many of these companies have really struggled in the recession.
Right.
So there's a lot more ownership of your own skills and networking and being able to go out and get your job search right. And I just wrote a book, Monster Careers, How to Land the Job of Your Life, and this is one of the big things is don't rely on your career center only. It's a great resource, but you may have 400 or 500 people with almost exactly your skill sets vying for a small number of jobs. Whereas when you go out in the world and start looking at and networking for your own positions, what you find out is the competition is a lot less.
So don't feel like you're on any kind of conveyor belt that's just going to deliver you to the job. Elizabeth Farrell, I wonder, in your conversations, how you see new graduates differentiating themselves. What are the differentiations that may make a particular graduate more attractive in this economy?
The best thing that they can do is make that face-to-face contact. A lot of them will send out a resume to 50 different companies with the idea that someone's going to get back to them. Well, they're better off going through the alumni network of their colleges. I keep on hearing career counselors say, make those calls, do the what they call the informational interview, where you speak to someone from your school established in a field about what their job is like. You go to their office, you see what the environment is like, and then you're a face that they remember.
Yep.
When an opening comes up.
That's always good advice. And Cynthia Parker, what are you seeing? What makes the difference between students who get hired and students who don't?
Yeah, she read my mind. I was about to break in and say the very same thing that I hadn't until Jeff just mentioned it, heard anyone use the term networking. And that when we survey students, we find that about three-quarters of our students, which is an enormous number, say that networking was the primary way that they found their position. And that might be with an alum, That might be with a faculty member, a family friend, anyone. So that would be something very important that I would suggest that students begin to do. And you can do it early to help find those internships or summer jobs. You can do it as a student about to graduate. And when we say networking, we're really not talking about one or two people, but we're talking about using that kind of tree effect that you start with a couple of people and you ask them after you've had the informational interview, whether that's on the phone
right.
or whether that's in person, who else should I be speaking with?
And build it out and build it out and then work that
exactly.
network. I want to get another call here. Matt's calling from Avlock, North Carolina. Hi, Matt. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening. I was wondering where the military junior officer fits into all of this. And, obviously, that's a somewhat steady opportunity that's not going to go away in the near future. And somebody looking to mark some time after college and serve their country at the same time, how does that affect them 4 years down the line? So maybe a question for Jeff. What does a four-year junior officer getting out of the military have perhaps to market themselves?
It's a good question. Many Americans in the military right now, others perhaps considering it or not, given what's going on, but maybe. Matt, thanks for raising it. Jeff Taylor, what about military experience in this job market? Is it an asset for job seekers outside the military?
Well, let's talk about junior officer. That is not a job title that actually translates over into the private sector very well. Monster recently purchased Military Advantage, military.com is the address, and one of the main reasons why we purchased that is because we are really excited about our men and women that have been representing our country and fighting hard, coming home and needing to be placed back in the private sector, and we want to get involved with this. And I think what you got to find out is that there's some incredible military experience that, at least at face value, doesn't translate very well into traditional corporate jobs. Yet, emotionally, I think you're going to find companies really opening their arms to the idea of having you come into work for them. So you're going to need to figure out how to translate those skills into the private sector skills that I think will make it so that you can be a fit. It's really the onus on you is to take your training from the military and apply it to different jobs that are in the private sector.
Well, talk about life experience. Many thousands of servicemen and women right now getting an awful lot of life experience that one way or another ought to translate in terms of maturity. Our time is running down, but I'm so grateful to all of you. And Matt in North Carolina, thanks for your call. Jeff Taylor, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you. I'd love to come again anytime.
Jeff Taylor, founder and CEO of Monster.com, author of Monster Careers, How to Land the Job of Your Life. Cynthia Parker in Waterville, Maine, Director of Career Services at Colby College. Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Enjoyed it.
And Elizabeth Farrell, reporter covering student issues at the Chronicle of Higher Education. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight.
It was a pleasure.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation online at onpointradio.org. Click on forums and good luck, new graduates, with your job search. On Point is produced by Meghna Chakrabarty, Julie Jupp, Eileen Amata, Jane Manners, Chris O'Connor, John Roberts, James Ross, Karen Schiffman, and Tim Skog. With help from Michael Garth, Darren Mnuchin, and Stanley Chang, our senior producer is Graham Griffith. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.